May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A case of mistaken identity. Once upon a time, a postman was greeted at the front gate of a house by a boy and a huge dog. The postman said to the boy, "Does your dog bite?" "No," replied the boy. Just then the huge dog bit the postman, who yelled, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." "He doesn't," replied the boy. "It's not my dog." I shall always be grateful to Peter Sellers for that one. I reckon the most serious case of mistaken identity took place getting on for 2,000 years ago. It happened when Pontius Pilate mistook Jesus for the wrong kind of king. Look at the charge sheet pinned up on that cross, on the cross of Jesus. There was also an inscription over him. Some old manuscripts add in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." There was no other crime charged against him. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Pontius Pilate had satisfied himself of that. He had tried Jesus and could find no fault in him, which is why he could not write any charge to be hung above him on the cross except this terse statement that he was the King of the Jews. We read elsewhere that the rulers objected to this. They wanted Pilate to write, "He said he was the King of the Jews," but Pilate wouldn't change a word. And there it stood above his head during all the agony and all the darkness. The King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. So he was. Though erected to mock the prisoner, this inscription told the truth. He was the Messiah who had been promised all through the preceding centuries. He was the real king of whom David was only an early, imperfect example. He was the Christ who had been foretold by the prophets, the Christ waited for age after age by his nation. At last, he came. Angels sang at his birth. His life had been one of great blessings and great power. He had worked miracles of mercy and blessing all over the country. He had taught, speaking with unique power and authority. Some saw in him all the marks of the Messiah. Some, but not all. His enemies had rejected him. And at the end, as we see today on the feast that celebrates his kingship, they led him out to Calvary and nailed him to the cross. And still he was their king rejected, their king crucified. His throne was his cross. His crown, a crown of thorns, cruel soldiers had twisted and pushed down hard upon his bruised head. Today is the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King, our modern title for what used to be called Stir Up Sunday, the last Sunday before Advent. With this theme, it certainly should stir up the wills of the faithful, for although it doesn't look to the world as a royal moment in our Lord's life as he hangs on his cross dying, yet eventually its true nature was revealed to his disciples. It became obvious to the eyes of faith that as he hung there on the cross, it really was the time of his highest earthly exaltation. He had spoken of going to his cross as going to be glorified. He was indeed the king. They crucified the king. He is our king too. On that cross, he did so much for us. On that cross, he died for each one of us and became the king of our hearts and our lives because of the love and total forgiveness that poured from him there as he bled and died for us. The feast of Christ the King is not a time for us to wallow in our guilt, but to rejoice in the love that pours out from that cross. It is up to us to live lives worthy of that freedom and love which he expressed for us in this dramatic way. That's why we ask him today to stir up our wills and to do right things and to live lives filled with his love. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that we, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may by you be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.